Hi there, it's Melvin. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Thrizer for supporting this month's podcast sessions. Thrizer is a payment platform that you have to check out if you are a private pay therapist and accepting out-of-network benefits. It basically helps clients save on therapy upfront. Thrizer can help verify a client's out-of-network benefit ahead of the first session so that they get transparency up front on what their out-of-pocket costs will be. I'll tell you more about Thrizer here in the middle of our session, but if you go to sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, you actually and then enter the code STC upon sign up, you get your first $2,500 in fees waived. Again, that's over at sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, and be sure to enter the promo code STC. So we'll jump right into today's podcast session. Hey, hey, welcome to session 67 of Selling the Couch. Hope this week has been really awesome for you, and it is starting to get to be spring. Apparently the groundhog came out, so it's going to be a much quicker spring, no more winter, which makes me really happy because I am so not a winter person. Today's podcast is actually one of my favorite topics to talk about, which is podcasting. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to reach out to a clinician that decided to launch a podcast because it made sense for their private practice. And I found someone. My guest today is Robert Cox. And Robert, one of the really interesting things with him is that he had actually become quite an expert in the world of autism and had been a successful clinician in working with autism spectrum disorders. But Robert realized that his real passion was working with addictions, and more specifically, the intersection of addictions and mindfulness. As someone who had been in recovery for several decades now, this was something that was so personal to Robert. And Robert wanted to start a private practice working with individuals with addiction and helping them to teach mindfulness in the same ways that it had helped him in his recovery. And one of the things that Robert realized was that podcasting might be an avenue that would allow him to do this. And so I'm recording this conversation here in March, and Robert a few weeks ago actually launched his podcast, which is called the Mindful Recovery Podcast. It's an amazing podcast. You should check it out. And Robert has a really quite an amazing podcasting voice. But in today's podcast, we are going to talk about a lot of things. One was, how did he make that decision to focus on podcasting as a medium to get the word out about his services? Robert was also inspired by one of the previous podcast conversations with Dr. Corey Bank, where we talked about creating multiple streams of income. And so one of the things that we really dive deep into was Robert's vision for using podcasting as a way to create some supplemental income for himself. And we wrap up with some of the things that Robert has learned along the podcasting journey and some of the things that have happened to him since he launched his podcast that has translated over to his practice as well. So here's my conversation with Robert Cox from liferecoveryconsulting.com. Hey, Robert, welcome to Selling the Couch.
Hey, Melvin, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be able to do this.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to our conversation. I feel like you are expanding into all sorts of different areas. And today we're going to be talking about how you're using podcasting to build your practice. But, you know, before we get kind of into the nitty gritty, I wanted to just take a step back and tell us a little bit about your passion for trauma and for addiction and what motivated you to start a practice around that intersection of those two topics.
Well, I've been forever in the addictions and recovery field because of my own history with trauma and addiction. So it was a natural kind of outcropping of my own recovery to want to make a difference. And I was doing a lot of coaching, sobriety coaching, stuff like that with individuals, and had completed my bachelor's, but felt like I was getting into an area where I was going to begin crossing some ethical boundaries, and I was really terrified that I was going to end up hurting someone because that I didn't know what I didn't know.
Just from a competence perspective?
Exactly. So I decided to go back and complete my master's degree in mental health counseling and then took off from there. Well, as I was doing that, I was working for the Division of Developmental Disabilities with autism. And so that part of my practice really took off and was naturally made. But my real passion has been in trauma and addictions work because I know that so well. And I just really, really like watching people who come in with all of this stuff and watching them just bloom. It was such a gift. I did my internship in a recovery center, and I just started thinking that, you know, I had more and more clients there as I led these mindfulness groups telling me, you know, oh gosh, I wish you'd record your voice. Mm-hmm. And that really was what started me thinking about, well, maybe I could do this as a podcast.
Yeah. I feel like the best like podcasts are ones, or even just the best like practitioners are where you realize you have some kind of personal experience and that you could, through your experience, you could share and make the world a better place.
Right. So a lot of my work, a lot of the mindfulness work is stuff that I have gleaned along my own path to recovery. And then I've taken that and added my professional expertise to it and kind of tried to design mindfulness exercises that really will work for these kind of healing moments for people. And, you know, between that and hearing patients tell me that what we were doing in group was really working for them and they wish they had it on a CD to listen to regularly. So this is kind of the area that I'm headed with all of this, is that I see this as an opportunity to help in a larger way, bigger audience.
One of the things that you said was just for you, like you had a lot of trauma and you found mindfulness in your own life. Like, I was wondering how, if you could talk more about how mindfulness helped you, like just at a person level.
For me, it allowed me to create the same emotional space that I try to create with my clients, that everything didn't have to be this urgent emergency, that I didn't have to make a mountain out of every molehill. And so it allowed me to kind of untrigger myself by slowing down that kind of reactive limbic region of the brain and opening up the forebrain to more reasoning and kind of being more in the, just grounding myself in the present moment. So I used a lot of that. I was a practicing Buddhist for 15 years.
Oh, so I didn't know that.
Yeah. I started as I began my recovery. It was, you know, it was always this spiritual journey that we start on in recovery. And so for me, that led to the locally to the Rimi Center, which is the Buddhist center here in Kansas City, and a lot of study through them and a lot of practice in Tai Chi and stuff. And so this kind of opened up my own practice to mindfulness, things that I knew would work for me anyway. So that was kind of how I got started. And as I got deeper and deeper into it, it just really led me down this kind of path. And then I began to do the research through my master's and even in my bachelor's degree on mindfulness and how the brain begins to react to that. And I really became sold on the kind of conjunction of these two worlds of Buddhism and science, you know, and how they were coming together.
Yeah, that's so neat. One of the things you said earlier was you had clients that were saying, like, Robert, you have this amazing voice. You should totally record this. I feel like maybe it's not our voices. I don't know what it is, but like, I feel like for most of us, people have told us like, wow, we're talented or we have these gifts in certain ways and that you should do something with it, right? I think the natural thing for most people is as soon as they realize they're talented, they can do something, there's like that sense of fear that stops them like dead in the tracks. Like, I can't do this. You know, somebody else can.
I think for me, it was both a sense of fear and a lack of buy-in to the belief that I had that talent. You know.
So what were some of the conversations that were going in your head?
When I would hear that, it would understand that I'm in a recovery program with individuals who are often court remanded to be there for 6 months to a year. Mm. And so to some extent, I'm wondering if they're not blowing smoke a little bit here, you know, just trying to get on my good side. So maybe I'll give them a good report, which I've told them repeatedly doesn't happen. So, but I think on a deeper level, that was also a way for me to not maybe buy into what they were saying immediately and not have to make that leap and take myself seriously in that way. I think we struggle, especially therapists who have their own background in trauma, their own history of these. We all have broken places, but I think we all struggle with that kind of human being able to believe in ourselves. And that's part of the problem we have when we're, you know, setting our price or setting very healthy boundaries with patients that we don't bend. It's that believing in ourselves, that buy-in that I think we all find the most difficult. Certainly I did.
How did you move from a place of doubt and fear to actually buying in and believing that you could actually do this, that you could really expand your practice into much more different areas?
For me, it was a gradual process. And I feel like my own personal higher power, like, pushes me, whether I want to be pushed or not at times. And so part of that really was listening to your Selling the Couch podcast and hearing the podcast about multiple streams of income, because I'm jumping into private practice. And although I kind of have a base of people telling me you'll have all this work in autism, I'm very concerned about having consistent income because I'm the only income for my family. Mm-hmm. So I was very concerned about that. And so the idea of being able to use this podcast to kind of generate passive income and get the word out that I'm out here and I'm available became more and more appealing to me as I listened to it. And as I listened to some of the interviews that you did and I looked around some other places, I thought, you know, this might be a doable thing. This not, you know, might not be as difficult as I originally imagined it would. Mm-hmm. So
I was going to ask you, like, there are so many like mediums out there, video, you know, Facebook Live, or all sorts of like different social media platforms that you could focus on. What made you focus on podcasting?
A couple of things. First, it was a well-established media, number one, and the audience size was huge with iTunes. And the other was really just personal, that I listened to a lot of podcasts. You know, if I miss some of my shows on NPR, like Moth Radio or something like that, I pick up the podcast later while I'm driving down the road and listen. So I think it was really my knowledge of that media more than the others that really made me want to go that direction.
Yeah, I'm a big podcast listener as well. And I think there's something about that. Like, there's something very personal when you listen to a podcast and when you listen to a host over and over. There's like a sense of like, you know, that person.
Yeah, I really make an effort to try and invite people into my space, to my world, when I do the podcast, too, because I know that's one of the things that has really appealed to me, is those very personal stories where I actually start to feel connected. I've never met this person in my life, but suddenly I'm feeling connected to them. Mm-hmm. I really want that kind of space to get created.
Yeah. What are some of the like successes, or what are some of the things that have happened? Well, actually, we should probably take a step back. So recently you launched a podcast, and I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about that.
So I did. I found the Healthcasters group that you have going very helpful for me, because it was a place that I could go and just ask questions. But I had no idea that it was going to be like a successful. I thought, well, if I get 100 or 200 downloads over a 3 or 4 week period, that's a good start. Well, I'm at 4 weeks and almost 1100 downloads now, which just blew my mind. And to see that it's being picked up in like 20 some odd countries was mind blowing for me. It was way more than I expected. And I think a lot of that was just that I had a niche where I knew there would be a need. I know the extensiveness of addictions and trauma that's out there. So I knew there would be that need initially. The other thing was I hit a lot of Facebook groups and was an active member in those groups before I ever said anything about a podcast. Mm. And then I went to the admins and said, hey, do you mind if I make this an available resource? And they were all about it. And so that really helped, because we're talking about access to maybe 3,000 audience members between two or three groups. Mm. And a lot of those are worldwide, people from Australia and England and Ireland and just everywhere.
I guess one of the things that I'm picking up is, for your podcast, you wanted it as a way to let folks know about this area for your practice, but you were really thinking much more on a global scale about how what you had learned and how your expertise really could like serve the world.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, that brings up something I hadn't thought about until you mentioned. And that is that one of the things that really pushed me this direction was probably 15 years ago, I set a goal for myself that I really wanted to be active in this field and get rid of the stigma attached to addictions and get out there the idea that addictions really come out of this kind of brokenness that people had no control over to begin with. And that this is a disease that comes out of that kind of trauma experience. So that was a goal that I set a long, long time ago that I'm finally starting to see some fruition come to that dream, which is really gratifying for me personally.
You know, I know that I often tell you guys this, that I feel like the best podcasts out there are the ones where you feel like you really, like you almost create a movement, like you want to do something to really change the world and how, you know, the world looks at a certain topic.
I really think there has to be a huge amount of personal investment, because it does really take a lot of time. Mm. And it really is a fairly steep learning curve at points. And if you're not really committed to this kind of message that you want to put into the world, I just don't see having the commitment that's necessary, at least for me personally, long term. I know that I would fade out well before that. So,
oh, no, I think that's absolutely true. I think you have to be passionate about that topic before, you know, otherwise I think you're right. Like, you are going to burn out, or you're just going to lose interest.
Right.
And the people that are listening, they're going to see it. They're going to at least hear it.
Yeah. And I think they're going to pick up on that kind of passion that you have for everything, for the whole thing. I think it's something I really, really want to come across when I do this.
Yeah. One of the things that you mentioned earlier was that conversation, that STC conversation on multiple streams of income, which is episode 48, I believe. But you started envisioning your professional career as having multiple streams of income. So how do you think having a podcast, I know it's still early on, but like, what are some of the dreams that you have about how podcasting will help you get there?
Well, I had hoped that it would expand my name recognition regionally, at least. I know that when I started in really pushing in the autism field, and I was doing a lot of research and I was speaking about that, I started getting more and more invitations to speak, not just locally, but nationally. And that really got my local recognition built, so that it was just like a ready-made kind of deal by the time I started my practice. Kind of hoping to build in the same way with the podcast, get kind of that local, regional, national recognition going as someone who's substantial in the field and actually knows what he's talking about. This addictions especially can be an area where you get a lot of people talking about what they know, but not as many of them are maybe qualified to be talking in that area. And so I see a lot of potential for damage in the addictions field, because there seems to be this kind of watering down of what is required for treatment, especially by sometimes, not to get too political, but insurance companies and people looking to save money. Well, there is a big difference between a sponsor and a therapist who specializes in addictions, you know? Right. And so I'm kind of using it in that way too. Also, I thought monetizing it eventually would not be a bad thing. The idea of, you know, it is an expensive process time-wise and money-wise, because you have to pay, you know, for different sites and different services that you use. The equipment's not always cheap. So monetizing the podcast is not a bad idea down the road either.
What is something that you feel like has happened to you, either professionally or personally, since you launched your podcast that you thought you would have never even thought of?
Just how fast it's gone and how quickly it's picked up. It's kind of been mind-blowing. And, you know, there's been this almost, oh, gosh, people are taking me seriously. Now I'm going to have to take myself seriously, you know. And working on it from that perspective, it's just really made me want to. I thought, you know, after 8 or 10 episodes, I would start reaching out to some big name guests that I would like to have on. I'm getting ready to do that in the next week or two. I just did not expect it to get this big this quickly. And recognition locally is already starting to pick up. So I've already got a lot of local therapists that I know saying, yeah, I'm recommending this to my patients. So,
wow, that is so cool. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's been really, really nice. I know a lot of people in the field because I've been in the mental health field for about 20 years, but I really didn't expect it to pick up this quickly or have this many people saying, yeah, I'm telling my patients they should be using your podcast as a tool in therapy. So
that's amazing. I forget where I read this, but you know, someone said podcasting is probably one of the best relationship building mediums out there. And it seems like that's true in your case.
I think it is. I think especially if, like we said, you create that kind of inviting space for people to come into. And I think that works both for people who are struggling with addiction and trauma recovery issues, and it works for their therapists who maybe listen to the podcast. You know, that if you create that kind of inviting, warm space, the therapist who's listening to that is going to be like, well, you know, this is exactly where I would like my client to sit for a little while.
Even this example that you just used, right? Like, you have other colleagues that are recommending your podcast, right? So not only do these colleagues start to see you as an authority, but then you also have potential clients that are also listening to your podcast.
Yeah. And it's fantastic because if the therapists listen to what you're doing and then they know you as someone who's competent in this area, they're also willing to refer to you if they're full or if they feel like they're getting into an area they're not comfortable with. I had one therapist at a local, the state convention for the American Counseling Association we met, and she was saying, yeah, I've seen you speak before. And she just does kind of coaching and the lighter work, and she doesn't like the deeper trauma places. And I said, so how do you handle it when it gets there? And she said, well, I give them your card. Mm-hmm. So it's that, you know, when you get noticed, recognized as an expert in that area, then it really does lead to referrals and stuff.
Yeah. Let's take even a step back. Tell me some of the dreams that you have in terms of what you want to do professionally through your podcast.
The awareness thing is the big one for me. And the just, I know how hard that road is. And if I can step out there and create this inviting space where in conjunction with their therapist, they're able to hold that a little bit. I mean, my concept, really, my purpose is, and I say this in one of my podcasts, that I'm not there as a replacement for therapy. I'm really there to help you hold that space that can be very difficult to hold between sessions. That really would be my ultimate goal with the podcast, is become a resource that people can use so that sometimes, you know, we get to this place in dealing with trauma where it just feels like you're walking around the world with no skin on, so raw. You don't want to be touched. You don't want to talk to anybody. You just want to isolate. And so I would like to be able to create a space where they can just go and kind of hold that place for a while between sessions.
It's such a unique space, right? Like podcasting, something like that allows you to do that where you're there with them, even though you're not like physically there.
I think there's so much empathy that we can convey just through the voice and through the idea that we've been there before and I'm somebody who's here. And, you know, and I've started to realize that I've started to put like my email out there and feel free to contact me if you're stuck, that kind of stuff. And, you know, eventually it will lead to, you know, another webinars and being able to train these mindfulness techniques online more closely with people. And that really is my goal, is to help people kind of regulate between sessions. It can be a really hard thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, and I said this, like, I really just sense how passionate you are about helping individuals that are struggling with addiction. I think that's why your podcast will continue to do well, because it's coming from a place of wanting to give and help.
You know, I think most of the people out there that I've run into in these communities on Facebook and stuff, and all of them have this niche that they want to be in, but it all comes out of that personal experience. It all comes out of the places that we've climbed the hill in our lives. You know, we've made it through. And so it's just an awesome feeling once we've made it to the top of that hill to be able to turn around and kind of guide people up that path to let them know where the, you know, the hazards are and stuff and how to get there a little more easily, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's just something, I don't know. The word that's coming up is like, or something just beautiful about that, you know?
Yeah. Just to be able to stand at the top of that hill and say, yeah, you know, it's possible to get up here.
Yeah.
It's possible to be here, you know?
Yeah. And the sense of like fulfillment, like that I got there, but I can also help others get there as well.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I think that's, you know, as therapists, that really is the root of why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Robert, thank you so much for doing this. Just, I don't know, like, I think just having this conversation, you have an amazing and very soothing voice. And I'm so excited for you because I really do think, like, yeah, we're talking about podcasting and we're talking about how it's going to help you as a practitioner, but really you are creating something that's going to help a lot of people. So,
well, thanks. I really appreciate being able to be on here and just this medium of podcasting I was excited to begin with about, but seeing it take off just makes me realize that the potential, we've just begun to tap into the potential of what this is going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Robert, what are some of the best ways that folks can get in touch with you?
My website has most of my contact information. That is www.liferecoveryconsulting.com or .org. And if they want the podcast page, they can go to www.mindfulrecoverypodcast.com. So either one of those ways, or they can just go to iTunes and they can hear me each week.
Awesome. Robert, thank you again for doing this.
Thanks, Melvin. I appreciate it.
Hey, what's up? Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Robert. And more importantly, hope that it has you inspired to think about some other ways to get the word out about your services
you know, I might be a little biased toward podcasting, but I think podcasting is one of several different options that you can pursue. And I think the ultimate thing is that you have to figure out what sort of medium works within your strengths. And I think for us as clinicians, I think podcasting is a natural one because it really does cater to our strengths, including our ability to ask questions and our, especially when we interview people, and our ability to really sit with silence and to think through things at a much deeper level because of our training and just our natural personalities. I know that I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but if you are curious about getting started with podcasting, I created a very comprehensive podcasting tutorial on the Selling the Couch page, and you can find that at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting-tutorial. It'll take you step by step from recording your first podcast episode to all the way to submitting it to iTunes. Show notes to today's episode can be found at sellingthecouch.com/session and the number 67. I have a feeling that this is going to be a pretty cool conversation. So if you'd like to join the conversation about this topic, you can do that at sellingthecouch.com/community. So I wanted to share some news with you. And to be honest, I had been rehearsing what to say for a couple of weeks now, and I don't know. I've been rehearsing and I just thought, you know, I'm just going to kind of go off the cuff and just be open and honest about this process with you because, you know, it's just something that I believe in. So to give you a little bit of a background, when I first launched the Selling the Couch podcast, a company had reached out to me very early on being interested in running ads on the podcast. And at that time, I just felt like, you know, this is such a new podcast and I want to be able to let it grow. And I just want to be able to provide a lot of great information to people. And so I declined it. And since that time, I've had about 6 other companies who have reached out being interested in running ads on the podcast. And to be honest, there was, I don't know, something about it was just not sitting well with me. And I think part of it was I didn't start this podcast to like thinking, oh my gosh, when am I going to create ads and when am I going to have ads? I just created it with the intent of just wanting to help our field to get better as business owners. And, you know, there was a review that someone left on the podcast several months ago, and they said something like, you know, one of the things that I love about STC is that I'm not being like sold things left and right. And I don't know, that just had a big impact on me because I never wanted this podcast to be anything like that. I just wanted to give back. But, you know, the folks in my mastermind, they've been so supportive, and I've been really struggling with this idea of having ads on the podcast. And, you know, one of the things that someone told me in my mastermind was, Melvin, I think you're looking at it the wrong way. You know, you have this platform now that's helping a lot of people. And if you have folks that are interested in running ads that can support the people that are listening to your podcast, that's probably not a bad idea. And I thought about that, and I think that's right. And so I know this is getting a bit long-winded, but just wanted to share. I don't know what all this looks like right now, but, you know, starting in April, I'm going to be just running a very brief podcast ad, and I'll actually be reading it during the month of April. And it'll basically look like this. At the very beginning, before we actually start the podcast conversation, it'll be just a little 15-minute thing, like, you know, today's podcast is supported by, real quick. And then at the very end of our podcast, for about a minute or so, I'll tell you a little bit more about the podcast sponsor for that episode. Sorry, I think I said 15 minute. What I meant was 15 seconds at the very beginning. So my promise to you is that when I have podcast sponsors, my whole goal is to only share products and services that I actually feel like would make you a better practitioner. So as much as, you know, no offense to dog or cat owners or anything like that, but I'm probably not going to be having ads for like cat food or dog food or anything like that. The other promise that I will tell you is that I will really only promote companies and services that have a really good reputation. And if I have questions about that, my plan is to do my due diligence to make sure that I only support those companies. Again, this world is very new for me. And I think for me, some of the income that's created through the podcast ads, I really wanted to, one, to be able to support you guys. There are some dreams that I,
you know, have for the blog and for the podcast, small things and big things, you know, small things like being able to afford transcriptions so you guys can have transcriptions of every podcast episode. So if you need to write down notes or just want a full transcription, you can do that. But transcription's not cheap. So it's one of the ways. And then I just have some other big dreams, which I don't want to like tell you right now because it's still not quite clear in my head. But that's kind of what I'm thinking. So I know this was a little bit long-winded. It's something that I've thought a lot about. And please know that I am just very protective of you guys. And it makes sense for me right now. Again, I don't know if this is something I'm going to do every month. I'm just kind of letting it all play out and seeing how it goes. Have a great week. And I will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.